I'm Rob Bradford McFarland. Sammy
McFarland.
Jacob behind the glass.
McFarland.
Oh, that's see how far you've come. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. As I just said, I've said it again. I will say it one more time. I'm Rob Bradford, host of the Baseballs and Boring podcast, host of the Baseballs and Boring Show. And Sammy of Play Tessie is Lone Wolf here with me. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you having me.
And so everybody's in luck, okay? Everybody is in luck. The reality is that this is the best baseball show in the entire country. And you just happen to get a chance to listen to it on the day after the day after the trade deadline, which everyone's talking about. Now this is rubber meets the road time. Rubber meets the road, fellas. Let's go. Right? Correct?
Correct. Correct. And that's backed by science. Everything you said. Best baseball show. And it's the day after the day after the deadline. Science.
All of it is science.
Can't argue with that.
And so there is plenty to argue about. There is plenty to pick through. We're going to talk about the reality of the Red Sox. We're going to talk about the trade deadline. We're going to talk about the fallout. We're going to talk about, you know, things that I put in my column today. We're going to talk about, we'll play you the exclusive interview with Sam Kennedy a little bit later in the show, which I thought he was really good. Really good. Because it's just two guys sitting in the dugout just chopping it up. That's it. And one of my biggest takeaways, spoiler alert, Sammy, is that you said you really liked that Cora was in the office, in the room, which Cora talked about before the game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about in the room, in the war room when the trade deadline stuff was going on. Cora sitting on the couch and Sam Kennedy obviously there. But he said John Henry and Theo Epstein also there.
Ooh.
Which, you know, I there is this security blanket, I think, with a fan base where Theo's around. Now, he was around in the winter meetings. We saw him walk out of the room multiple times. So, you know, he's around. He's not just doing FSG stuff with the golf tour or whatever it is. But Theo was there. So that's one of the things that Sam talked about. So, Sammy, as I said, I wrote a column this morning sort of trying to detail what I had gleaned from the situation. Listen, I was on the Nesson Post. I was on the Nesson Trade Deadline show. I was after the trade deadline. I was on with Christian Arcan. And I am fire and brimstone. I was like everybody else. Hey, listen, good for you, Dustin May. Good for you, Steven Matz. But the reality is that you went in with this goal, this singular goal of getting a pitcher who could pitch in the postseason, a pitcher who was established. So that's how I graded it out then. Now, so as I am wont to do, Sammy, that's O-N-W-O-N-T, right? Correct? I don't know.
W-O-N-T.
Sure. You're a PR guy. Let's go. Anyway, as I want to do, I still want to get facts. There's so much stuff going out there. A lot of it's right, and a lot of it is wrong. But I am trying my best to find out what's what when it comes to this, the reality of the Red Sox. And, you know, one of my initial things, Sammy, coming off of the deadline when this was going on, and first of all, it gets to 5:30 on the deadline, right? We're doing the show, me, TC, JP Ricciardi, Lou Maloney, Alex Speer, and all of a sudden, the Joe Ryan, John Paul Morosi comes out with the Joe Ryan, hey, the Red Sox might be getting close on Joe Ryan. And then you have the delicious social media post, the Red Sox have acquired Joe Ryan.
Unbelievable.
Right?
The meanest thing of all time.
It is like, this is, which is worse, that or Aaron Judge? It will go down to one of the greatest debates of all time. But you have that half hour. And that half hour was so different. That half hour, the energy in that studio, the energy among the fan base. And I don't know if you felt this way, because we're going to get to exactly what happened. But I want to go back to what we thought was going on at that time. And I don't know about you, but I think the overall perception, social media post aside, was, all right, this is how it's going to work. We were slow playing it. Boom. But, you know, we all know how desperate they are. We all know that they made the Devers trade. We all know that, you know, that this was, they were going into this. They had proclaimed this is what we need. So you go into that last half hour and you say, this is it. Here they go. This is going to happen. It's close. All it's going to take is adding one name. They're going to add the name. It's going to be like Bregman all over again when they're agree for the opt-outs. Here you go. Joe Ryan by 6 o'clock, he is going to be a member of the Boston Red Sox. That feeling for that half hour was a feeling like we haven't had the trade deadline. Honestly, I don't even know when. Like, I don't even know. But because nothing, ultimately, it landed at the same place, but you haven't had that feeling. Did you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And if you had asked me an hour before that infamous half-hour stretch with the bad tweet and the reports about the Red Sox ramping up their efforts, I would have said, no chance the Red Sox get Joe Ryan. Then we get to this period right before the deadline, and I'm so mad at myself, I started buying in. I started thinking,
oh, I think everybody did.
Yeah, it's different this time. Oh, they have the money that they're leaving from the Devers trade. They're more aggressive. They extended Crochet, so it would make sense for them to add another big-time pitcher. And then,
by the way, the money thing had nothing to do with it. Like, this is another thing, you know, one of the things that we have to sort of, I don't want to say disavow, but it wasn't part of the equation.
Money in, like, they're willing to be more aggressive and contend. Not that it was affecting how they were.
No, operating. There was money had nothing to do with this trade deadline. Zero. They're already over the luxury tax. If you want to talk about money in a team impacting, like I tweeted this out, the Texas Rangers, good for them. They not only got uncomfortable and giving it the prospects for Merrill Kelly, but they did something that nobody thought they would do, which is go over the luxury tax to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's Chris Young. I mean, that was him a couple years ago.
Sure.
Hey,
yeah.
We think we can win the World Series. Let's go. So anyway, yeah, you had that feeling. Everyone had that feeling. I think some people probably took that feeling to a level that was maybe a little bit cart before the horse.
A bit.
But and then you get to 6 o'clock and then sad trombone. Now, one of the things that Sam Kennedy said on the podcast today, I asked him, I said, when did you feel like it was done? Like that, whether you didn't have a chance. And he bizarrely said 12 minutes before. So, okay.
12.
12.
Weirdly specific.
Yeah, 12 minutes before. Huh. But so I want to lay out the scene for you. I think that's a good way to start. I don't know. Do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, lay it out.
Sure. All right, so we're throughout, and we can talk about what was reported throughout leading up to the deadline, how we felt leading up to the deadline, what was reality leading up to the deadline, and all of it. All we know is that this is, I want to focus on what happened in that last hour and how it affected the Red Sox and how it impacted what was going on. And so that last hour, one of the things I have gleaned is that they were laser focused on the two controllable starters, mm-hmm. which was Joe Ryan, not only Joe Ryan, but Sandy Alcantara. Am I saying that right?
I honestly have no clue. I was about to ask you, is it Alcantara? Or yeah.
Alcantara, okay.
Call him Sandy.
Okay, Sandy. So those two. So they were laser focused on that. So much so, and this is where I'm going to compliment them sometimes, but I'm going to criticize them in others, and this is one of the things I'm going to criticize them for. I think that ultimately them being so laser focused on those guys hurt them when other things they potentially do, i.e. Merrill Kelly. All right.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. When this was all going down, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what is the backup plan here?
Well, so here's the problem. So anyway, we'll stay with that last hour. Your focus on Joe Ryan, your focus on Sandy. And now, the offers they were making kept getting more and more and more and more. And the Minnesota reaction was never like, well, okay, if you do this or you do that or you do this, it was never like that. It was just like, okay, more and more. Now, what we do know, the Red Sox never were interested in including any major leaguers, which I don't have a problem with. Because this team, it was a really unique situation with this deadline because you had a major league team, which was so delicately balanced with what you had, the guys that you could potentially trade, you couldn't trade them. Like, I don't know if you agree with that, Sammy, or not.
I'm with you. I kind of came around to that side more recently than you did, but you can't punt again. And I don't want to hear people say, oh, if you trade Chapman, if you trade Duran, if you trade punting.
No. The guys with the value, they had too much value for where you want to go with this team. So Amen. That was out, and they aren't trading Roman Anthony. We all know this. And we can talk about the Jaron Duran roller coaster or whatever a little bit later. But all they wanted to do was trade minor leaguers. Now, the good thing they had going, they had two things going for them, which was they had a minor league system where, and I said this to you guys before, there wasn't a guy that you don't trade, right? That you can't always say that. You couldn't say it last year because you had Roman Anthony. Yeah. You had Marcelo Meyer. At that time, maybe you had Christian Campbell.
Yeah, you have good prospects, but I don't even like the term untouchable in general, so
right.
I'm with you there.
But still, a lot of times they are untouchable. That's a reality. Like when Dave Dombrowski trade for Chris Sale, he hangs on to Devers. He said, you can have Mankata.
Right, very, very rarely would I put that label on a product. Roman Anthony.
Right, but it's very, very rarely that front offices don't put labels on at least somebody. And they didn't put any label. There wasn't any of that.
No.
And then the other part of that, which was you had a team, at least in Minnesota, which had no interest in major leaguers. Why? Because they're selling the team. They don't want to take on any money. They want to make this more manageable, which is why a lot of the focus of Minnesota, maybe almost too much focus, was the Carlos Correa deal. Because the Carlos Correa deal was like dramatically more important than any other deal because that was going to help them with the bottom line.
Right. They're trying to sell the team. Like you said, it's easier to sell a team when you don't have a bunch
right.
of money on the books. Simple.
So you had that dynamic where all you wanted to do was give up minor leaguers, but the team that you're dealing with, all they want is minor leaguers. All right. That's great.
Match. Great.
Right? So now you're offering guys. They offered everybody. Like everybody. Now, Red Sox offered everybody.
Yes.
Now, don't get this twisted. They offered to say, let's say take the top three guys. The three guys who are, I think, in the top 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only have three guys in the top 100.
Arias Garcia.
Arias Garcia. They were in every package at the end. Two of those three were together. Not three. I mean, let's not get this twisted. I think, you know, you can figure this out about, you know, why they would want to keep you know, one over the other, whatever. But, you know, Tolley was almost in every package, right? And we thought, oh, my goodness, Tolley, you can't – like, well, no. That to me, was a tip – that's the tipping point.
You agree he's the most valuable prospect?
Not even close.
I agree.
Not even close. Yep. I mean, I don't value Nixon and Arias, like, as much as a lot of other people.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I think they're good, but they're flawed.
Yeah, so anyway, and – it was not only them, but then you have these other guys that were also being offered. And this is where it comes back to where I think that they sort of may have got caught with the Merrill Kelly thing. Because I think what might have happened was that you had Merrill Kelly. You knew that you, judging what Texas gave up for him, you knew that you were going to have to give up like the Sandlins of the world, right? Someone like that. I'm just using him as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give up them, you don't have that in the trades that you want to make, ultimately are focused on in Ryan and Sandy.
Right.
Right? So that's where, you know, it gets a little complicated. That is, I don't think that's an excuse. I think that's a criticism. I mean, I still think you have to read the room. You have to figure it out because I got to be honest with you, Merrill Kelly has said it at the time, and I'll say it again, like that's the guy.
That was the guy I wanted, the rental that made the most sense. He's a veteran. He's experienced in the playoffs, and he doesn't tie you up in 2026 either.
Right. So, but they choose to be laser focused on these guys. Mm-hmm. They offer, nothing, which shouldn't have come as a surprise. I mean, honestly, what probably should have happened is that they should have put a deadline on a deadline. They probably should have said, hey, listen, we got to know. Are you serious about this? Are you serious about Joe Ryan?
Right, something like 30 minutes out, we turn to plan B.
You have to, and by the way, I think by then, Merrill Kelly may have been gone, but you have to figure out if they're serious. Because from what we can glean is that Minnesota never said, once again, that they never, Minnesota never said, hey, no, add this and we get the deal done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was any of that.
So can I give you my take on this? And you might disagree.
No, I don't. I want to tell you about one real quick.
Go ahead.
Is that I think through all this, I'm just trying to paint the picture. Let's not get this twisted. I gave him a C-. I'll still give him a C-. It's like I tried real hard starting for a test, and I got a C-. You get a C-.
That's generous of you.
C-, for this deadline?
I think that's generous.
Okay. Well, you went in. You wanted this, and you could see like this is why they were bummed about it. This is what you can see Breslow's reaction after it. This is why everyone's sad about it. Like, I don't care. We'll get the Roman Anthony walk-off and what they did last night. It's fine. It's a great game, and they could very easily go to the postseason. But the problem is there was a reason why you needed that guy. Let's not forget this. Is because you do have a team that is a playoff team. You do have a team that can get to the playoffs. But if you get to the playoffs and you get caught short because you did not do something at the deadline – then that's a really, really bad feeling.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
So my take on this, and please tell me I could be completely
full
off.
Of hooey?
What?
Could I tell you you're full of hooey?
Oh, please don't use those words. That's too harsh.
No, okay.
No. My theory is I don't think the Twins ever really planned to move Joe Ryan at the deadline unless they got some completely absurd offer, which, you know, I think is smart. I think this was kind of the Twins seeing what they can get right now and kind of sort of laying the groundwork.
I totally agree with you.
You agree?
Yeah. Wow. No, I totally agree with you.
I thought you were going to say no. This okay.
There's a reason why – I said this before. You know, there was a reason why these deals don't get done for these controllable pitchers. There was a reason 2 years ago Dylan Cease didn't get done. There was a reason Garrett Crochet didn't get done a year ago. There's a reason why Joe Ryan didn't get done. It's because they can sit there and they can play off the desperation and of these teams, and they just say, how desperate are you? How desperate are you?
Oh, yeah.
How desperate are you?
Red Sox had no leverage in that negotiation.
No.
It was all the Twins.
Zero. None. Yep. And I mean, this shouldn't come as a surprise. It's just you have to gauge exactly how much this team really wants to do it. And I think that's what you have to figure out. Like, it's coming back to – it's funny because if I was thinking about this, I would have played – I sat down with Breslow a few weeks ago, and one of the things he says, like, you got to gauge, like, who's serious and who's not. Like, he said that at that time. And I think that was the downfall here. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to gauge if they were, like, truly serious. And I know that people are, you know, there's this back and forth and there's this peeing contest about, oh, you know, they were close. Oh, no, they weren't close. Here's the reality is that they weren't close. And the reason why they weren't close was because Minnesota wasn't going to trade them.
Right.
So, like, the Red Sox could think we're close because you think you're giving a better package than you did for Garrett Crochet, which a lot of them thought they were, then that's fine. But that doesn't mean you're close.
Yeah, the Crochet situation is a good one to look at because they want – last year at the deadline, they wanted Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. That's an insane price to pay. Red Sox walked away, came back in the winter, got the deal done.
Yeah.
That's what I genuinely think they're going to make a big push for Joe Ryan, and I feel pretty good about them getting him.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think absolutely. This is the one thing that we know, right?
Clear target.
It's clear target. This is like when the offseason rolls around, this isn't room for interpretation. There we go. Oh, like even with Crochet last year, there wasn't like, oh, the Red Sox made a run. We found out the Red Sox made a run at him, but it was sort of like, no.
No, we know way more about
that. Well, also that run, like it was – the White Sox were basically saying, hey, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, you want to give – and but that's how it works.
Yeah, that's like, how it should work. That's from the White Sox perspective.
And
they had no incentive to
move
them.
And let's be honest. I mean, another part of this is that the Red Sox don't have Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer in their system. Or they have Christian Campbell, but he has this contract attached to him. Mm-hmm. And also he's had a downturn. So we can talk about Peyton Tolley and the password and all these guys, but there's nobody at that level. Well, there's nobody at that level where you can say, hey, you include him, then it's a different conversation.
Right. I think Tolley's close, but he's not there yet. He's not that elite prospect. He doesn't have the track record. He didn't come into the organization as a top draft pick. It's his first year as a full-time pitcher. There's still question mark. Unbelievable ascension this year, but he's not there in that premier prospect list
yet. All right.
Yet.
We got a lot to get to. That's Sammy from Playtessie, Jacob behind the glass. I'm Rob Bradford. People lining up here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. What a day. What a day. We haven't even gotten to last night. This is the thing, is that it is like it was a sad trombone after the deadline. Everyone's talking yesterday. Like, they're fending things off, rightfully so. And then you have that. You have, for the most part, last night's game where, like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Forget about Joe Ryan. You didn't get a hitter. You're down 1-0. And then, boom, everything turns. Everything's celebrating. Everyone's feeling good. Cooper Criswell beats Hunter Brown. Here you go. And on top of it all, Sammy, on top of it all, what am I going to say?
Yay baseball or something?
Yay,
like
baseball,
yay baseball.
Yay baseball, but the Yankees. The Yankees.
Oh.
I mean, this is like storybook stuff. The Yankees. Three relievers who they got, who everyone was applauding them for, they have, it's not hyperbole, a historic meltdown.
Historic.
Historic.
And then the error to lose the game was Caballero, who they also treated.
I know. So anyway, call on in, 617-779-7937. We'll be with you all the way up to the pregame show, Joe Weil. Joe Weil's going to be with us, and so we'll get to all your calls, get all the conversation, but first we're going to trend with Jacob. Is this yours, Sammy?
Oh, hey. I like it, though.
Do you?
Anything heavy.
Do you think they were playing this in the last half hour of the trade deadline?
It's probably the sound.
They were inspired by our idea to put background music to all John Henry's... This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Sammy, a play Tessie, is here as well. We should note, news coming down, Alex Cora just announcing Tanner Houck will be undergoing Tommy John surgery. So Tanner Houck undergoing Tommy John surgery. Percentage of surprise on that?
Low. Low. Let's say 23.
Yeah, 23. I think that's perfectly executed. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. He didn't look right. He didn't look right going back to spring training. He said he was fine, but he just never looked right. And, you know, I feel bad. He's a good guy, obviously. But Tommy John surgery, so now you move on. And let's not forget, I mean, Tanner Houck, it was this embarrassment of riches in starting rotation with the all-star Tanner Houck, Garrett Crochet. And how big does this Garrett Crochet acquisition look? I mean, that is the most obvious statement of all time. But please, I mean, let's take a step back. Because some teams, you could have gone into it and said, oh, we got Tanner Houck. He can be our number one, right?
Yeah. I mean, technically, yeah, you could have. I mean, how many times this year have we, in our heads or out loud, said, oh, thank God Crochet's pitching tomorrow. He can stop the skid.
Yeah.
Probably 10 at least.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Yes.
And just a reminder, it's a beautiful day here at Fenway Park, which is where we are at. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get your great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. And as I said, I mean, if maybe, I know that after the deadline was over, Craig Breslow addressed the troops like in the war room, but John Henry did as well, which I would hope he would put background music to it. I hope John Henry, somebody he has, I was going to say carries around a boombox, but no, he has somebody else carry around a boombox. let's be real.
John Henry carrying around.
No. Let's have, he has somebody. He hires someone.
He goes into the clubhouse. Hello, kids.
If I was that rich, I would absolutely have someone to have the soundtrack of my life at the ready at any time.
I don't know what I would do if I was that rich. Maybe I'd have a boombox backpack.
Yeah.
So I could just, anytime I want, walk around with music.
Well, we had John Berman, who is on CNN. Did you see this clip of him?
I didn't.
Yeah, so John Berman, who's a big Red Sox fan on CNN, he actually, he had on the head of the oversight committee, the Massachusetts representative. I forget who it was. Anyway, so he said, oh, what do you think about the Red Sox trade deadline? And this guy's, I believe in the Red Sox, so forth and so on. And he's like, you know, like, oh, we just, our prayers are with the Red Sox. He's like, and John Berman's like, well, I don't know if prayers is going to get you number five starter.
Yeah. Peyton, Tolley, Garcia, and prayers for Ryan. Does that get it done?
Yeah. So senior member of House Oversight Committee. Yes. That would be, who is this? Oh, Stephen Lynch.
Oh, right. I knew.
Yeah. He was praying for the Red Sox, and John Berman came in and said, hey, listen, you got to get, prayers aren't going to get you a number five starter. Reality. Facts. All right. 617-779-7937. As I said, I should say this more clearly. 617-779-7937. If you want to join the conversation for the best baseball show in the entire world at the most important time, one of the most important times of the entire season. Like I said, my intention is to play my conversation with Sam Kennedy, which is a good one, in the final hour. I say my intentions, as soon as I said that, the Red Sox intentions were to get a top of the rotation starter. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I think it will happen. I think there's a better chance of me playing that Sam Kennedy interview than the Red Sox did of getting Joe or Sandy.
Yeah, I was going to say the odds of this one are a little bit better.
All right. Well, listen, we got to get the pulse of the people. Here we go. Jeff from Watertown. Jeff, what's going on, my friend? How you doing?
Hey, Bradford. Hey, Sammy. You know, the comment of this week that really got my attention was Rosenthal talking about other GMs and how they looked at the Red Sox modeling. You know, and he talked about it with, like, disdain. And, the thing I said about Breslau from the beginning is he's an intellectual. And the thing about intellectuals are that they value ideas over all else. And I'm sure he has this idea of exactly how baseball should run and exactly how people should be, you know, should be valued. But the problem is, you know, Thomas More wrote his utopia, and the problem with that is nobody would live in Thomas More's utopia. It might be the ideal society, but nobody would live in it. You know, they might have this grand vision of how baseball should be run, and maybe, you know, maybe John Henry and the salary cap is factors into it, and they think they could come up with this. But the thing is, like, I mean, if they were throwing everybody in the kitchen sink at the Twins and still couldn't make it done, then, yeah, I understand they might wait till the off season. But somebody, you know, if they wanted to throw all these people, somebody would have, they could have done something more than what they did. And I just wonder if they just have a very different idea of the value of their players than others.
Well, it's Jeff, it's two different things. And you raise good points. Like, it's two different things. Okay. That narrative, they're pushing back on that narrative about, you know, whatever the term was, feeble offer or models or whatever, when they say we offered a deal that was better than the Crochet deal. Okay, fine. Like, I think I believe that. I do believe that. But at the same time, there's other guys to get. Like, this is the problem that we have with this deadline with the Red Sox, is that, Jeff, you tell me where, if you agree or you don't agree. Number one, I think, as I said before, I think they were too laser focused on these two guys in the last hour. And they were also worried about potentially giving up guys that maybe they could have given up for somebody else. But when so many other teams make so many other trades that aren't necessarily that level but are useful, then, you know, that's a problem. Like, I'll say this. Like, I like Shane Bieber. I like the Shane Bieber. I know that some people don't. People say, well, he's not going to be good in a short time after coming back from Tommy John surgery. But all I know is this. I'm willing to take that chance for a guy who could pitch in the postseason. I am. And so, like, there are a lot of guys, a lot of trades that were made that were talking what you're talking about, which is they probably set a price for him, and then they said, no, you know what, we're not going to do it. Well, you know what? They could have, with all due respect to Dustin May and all due respect to Steven Matz, who is a luxury item, like, you could have probably gotten some more impactful guys by taking a little bit more aggressive approach and getting off that model.
Right. And my thing about the intellectual thing, again, is, like, I could think, both of us think, well, of course they're going to trade Joe Ryan if we give them this. Like, without realizing, like you said, and it's funny that he mentioned it earlier, that you have to know about the intentions. Like, it seems like they just assumed that, of course, they could make this deal if they just added another player or whatever it was, when it was never going to happen in the first place. And I think that's the problem with this intellectual approach. It's all about the value of the idea that you have more than the reality of the marketplace, the reality of where you're working. And that's what scares me.
And Jeff, also, if they looked at it, take a step back about that idea that, hey, of course they're going to take this. Well, number one, we've already said it. Sammy, you said it. They had no leverage. Zero leverage.
None.
Minnesota had all the leverage. Miami had all the leverage. And also, history would suggest that these deals don't get done. They don't get done even with guys with a lot bigger names being thrown around than Nixon and Toley. So, you know, so that's, I mean, I think that was the fly in the ointment when saying, hey, of course they're going to take this deal. No. So I think that, again, I think that they, and they'll probably admit that they miscalculated that. Absolutely. But I do think, you know, when it comes to the narrative that's being put out there, Jeff, by, you know, about the feeble, I don't think that's accurate. The feeble offer.
And I love that description, though. Feeble.
It's such an underutilized word,
feeble.
Right? Yeah. And then.
I did like Breslow. Breslow really snapped back as much as Breslow does.
I don't think it was true. I honestly don't think it was true. And, like, I'll criticize them for a lot of other things.
Modeling, like, the way they value things, not that they didn't offer.
Yeah, the model thing that I've heard a lot, and that's really disconcerting. It comes back to, you know, organizations, front offices wanting to win trades by 80% instead of 51%. Mm-hmm. That's always an issue. But anyway, you know, Jeff, I mean, you're right, you're dead on, and the criticism isn't going to stop. The only way, it's like the Devers thing. The only way you put this criticism in the rear view for the time being is that you go on a winning streak, right? But at the same time, what is waiting for you ultimately is that if you do get to contention, if you do get to the postseason and you are caught short, that's the tough luck right there. So
absolutely.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call, man.
Good happens next week.
Yeah, yeah, all good. All right, appreciate it. Eric in Chicopee, what's going on, Eric?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Rob. Baseball certainly hasn't been boring the last 72 hours.
No, no. We don't. As much as I love handing out stickers, I don't even need to. And Sammy's wearing his shirt, his baseball's in boring shirt.
Always.
And he has a tattoo underneath, or he's going to. Or,
the Red Sox one.
Right, there we go.
Oh, nice.
All right, here we go.
So
what's going on, Eric?
On this whole my take on this whole situation is it's a very unique situation. Now, don't get it wrong. It's self-inflicted unique situation where they've had this disorganization for so long and so many mismatched components as far as a baseball team that they're really left in a bind as to who they can offer. And I, as a fan, I'm very glad that Duran and Abreu is still on the major league club. And now I don't know how it became the mantra that Duran was going to be traded. I know he had a very poor June, but I think trading these players, Duran or Abreu, off the major league club would have been a net negative, or at least a net neutral. As a fan, I would have been happy if they traded Meyer or Christian, because they've only been up here for a cup of coffee. But as an organization, I can understand why they want to hang on those prospects. That being said, they totally don't understand the trade deadline, and they're targeting players based on what they want and not what other teams are willing to get rid of. I think that, you know, if you got to target what a team wants to offload, and if it's going to be a rental where they're going to dump some salary, they're going to take a lesser prospect in order to do that. I think you need to be looking at it from who you're trying to trade with's perspective rather than being so steadfast on what your ideas are.
Eric, I agree with a lot of what you said. And Sammy, one of the things here, thanks for the call, Eric. I think as we talk through this, one of the things that keep popping up in my mind, like, is the meat and potatoes of this whole thing, is that they didn't identify the reality of the situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Dave Dombrowski knows what he needs. Dave Dombrowski knows he needs a closer. But you know what? He also knows that closers are going to get traded. That there's no room for interpretation with that. And sure enough, he gets uncomfortable, gets the biggest ticket item closer that there is in Duran. There you go. But with the Red Sox, they know that they needed that top of the rotation guy. But they don't know that if the guys that they are targeting are going to get traded. They do know that Merrill Kelly is going to get traded, right? Correct?
Yeah, everyone knew.
Yeah.
It was the most obvious. But this is the thing that worries me as a fan of the Red Sox. This is year two now with Breslow kind of having a similar, slightly different deadline. But my question, Bradford, I don't know if you saw this, our social clip for Play Tessie, was me asking Craig Breslow, why is it you? Why is it you that doesn't get it? Why are all the other teams, other than the Brewers, making additions? The contenders have all gotten better.
But I think that, and that was initially my reaction, and that is my reaction in a lot of different ways, sure. But I think in this case, because when we first hear this, it was convoluted, right? It was, what do you mean that they don't value your guys? What do you mean? Like, what do you mean you were overly aggressive? Now, like, all that can be picked apart. But then you hear, like, sort of what happened. And, okay, I know what you're saying now. You offered the whole ball of wax in terms of minor leagues, and they didn't take it. That's what you're saying. Like, that's what you're saying. But to your point, well, why didn't this happen? If you did do that, why didn't you happen? And I don't buy, like, oh, people hate the Red Sox. People don't want to deal with Breslow, whatever it is. I think in this case that we're talking about, we're sort of picking through it. And we're coming to the ultimate conclusion, whether people want to accept it or not. They messed up in identifying how much these guys were willing to trade the guys that they were locked in on. That was it.
And my question is, why? How does that happen? You're the Boston Red Sox. This is not just some team. It's the Red Sox.
Right.
This is the second year in a row this has happened. It's concerning.
Yes, but I will say this, is that, you know, I said this – when I'm sitting on the Nesson desk, and then I would go to talk with Christian Arkin in the studio, and I said this to Christian. I said, I had been saying over and over and over again that they are more motivated than ever this deadline, right? And when nothing happened, I'm like, oh, what an idiot I am. But I'm not an idiot.
No, I
was actually right.
Being motivated doesn't mean you'll get it
because,
done.
Because this approach isn't Heim Bloom in the underdog trade deadline. Ugh. Isn't Breslow last year. This was different. But, you know, and this is, there's a reason for it. Still, the fact of the matter is this. You did not get the job done. You didn't get the job done. And while you might go on a win streak now, ultimately, you gotta, if you get caught short when it counts the most, and they know this, that is when the ultimate judgment is going to be made. All right, 617-779-7937. We got to take a quick break. I see Rich, Steve, David, all of you lined up. Sammy at Play Tessie's with me. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. Be back after this. All right, let's go. Baseball Isn't Boring. All right, Jacob. What are the rules?
Yes.
I gave one pass. I let you have one. Second rejoin. What do we got? What's this?
Enter Sandman?
Yeah, but what is it? What isn't it?
Ace of Spades.
Thank you. All right. It's all right. It's okay.
Is that your favorite song?
No. Not even close.
What's your favorite song?
That's a bunch of Pearl Jam songs. But still, my point is that I learned through the art of air guitar that there isn't a song that's better to get you fired up. You cannot listen to Ace of Spades and not get you pumped up.
Through the art of air guitar.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There was a great documentary. And we're going to get calls in a second. There was a great documentary called Air Guitar Nation. It was about the Air Guitar World Championships.
What? That's a thing?
Yeah. It was in the championships were in Finland.
What's it called? So I'm going to write this down.
Air Guitar Nation.
Air Guitar Nation. All right.
And so when they were doing the air guitar, there was more than a few who used Ace of Spades, and they would throw the guitar up in the air and then catch it. Of course, the air guitar. But that's when I'm like, that should be the rejoin every single time. That should be.
Air Guitar Nation 2006 documentary.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
This is on the list. Prime Video.
All right, there you go. By the way, I just broke something on Twitter. Breaking news.
Ooh.
AJ Preller has traded Boston some San Diego weather. That's a good tweet, isn't it? It's a good one. It's a good one. Come on, it's a good tweet. Come on. It's good.
Crowd goes mild.
There you go. All right, Stephen Fall River, thanks for hanging on, Steve. What's going on?
Not too much. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Wonderful.
When did this ask for last season's trade deadline for Crochet come out? I just heard it about a week ago, that they asked for Devers and Roman Anthony. When did that become public domain?
Whoa.
Meyer.
No.
The Crochet.
Yeah. Last deadline?
I didn't say Devers. Yeah. When did that come out? I just heard that about a week ago.
I don't know if they asked for Anthony and Meyer together, but they asked for like different iterations.
When did that become public information? Is my question.
I have no idea.
Heard it a week ago.
Okay, I think before. I put it this way: before a week ago.
I think the winter.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, now in real time, we've got all the information about what happened with this trade with Minnesota. It almost seems like or the failed trade with Minnesota. It almost seems like Trump's call with Zelensky there when he tried to quid pro quo. We got everybody, all these leaks. He didn't get it done. Okay. I don't think everything they've done, Rob, you've already said it. You gauge at the deadline and you do better in the off season. I tell somebody, I said, you want to build, you got young guys in your system, Rob, a family. Would you tell them to build their wealth through payday loans? That's what this damn trading deadline is, payday loans. That's not the way you do it.
Steve, I would say this. You lost me a little bit, but I would say this. No, hold on a second. So hold on. You ask about sort of the Crochet versus this situation. One of the explanations I would give you is that I think that the Red Sox believed a lot more that they had a chance at Joe Ryan than they had a chance at Garrett Crochet last year. I think this is one of the reasons why this conversation is happening.
All right, but it's a trade deadline. You don't always get what you want. You get what you can take. Some people are upset. I'd like to focus on the guy that's got 18 starts this year in the league and got 6 wins. You can't get 5 wins out of this guy down the stretch? The Dodgers starter, Rob?
Oh, just May.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen.
The guy can't get you 5 wins. Well, he's not going to be your second.
Steve, we try to grade like all these trade deadlines. And the reality is that a lot of them, like, we get excited about guys. Like, just the Yankees, for example, last night, a perfect example. That, you know, you get these relievers, they get all the praise, and then they have this historic meltdown with all three of these relievers. Dustin May could be good. I don't know. It's two different conversations.
Wait a minute, Rob. The downgrade is he can't be your number two starter in the playoffs. Okay. So what?
That's a big so what.
It's pretty big.
That's a big so what, Steve.
Until they went 10-0, you know who stoked this flame? This national media. They went 10-0 before the All-Star break, and all of a sudden the national media, they're World Series competition. They're ready to go to the World Series. This is stupid. That's not the progression you want here. They're going in the right way. They're building the right way. I'm sorry to tell you this. No, I'm not on their payroll, although I'd like to be. Rob, tell them to get my number. I'd like to get some compensation.
Steve, before you go, because we got to get to the other callers here. Would you, if they did the deal,
what are you
if the Minnesota?
Get,
hold on, no, no, no. If you, if you,
no, no. Just, what am I going to get from the Red Sox?
No,
is all I
please,
hear
please,
what am
please,
I getting?
Steve.
What am I getting?
I'm giving you a chance here, okay, Steve. If the Red Sox, if Minnesota accepted the Red Sox deal, or accepted that the Red Sox say send Peyton Tolley, send Just Nixon Garcia, send
Franklin Arias.
Send a couple other prospects. Send a deal, all minor leaguers, in relation, relatively the same as what they send Crochet for Joe Ryan. Would you have liked that deal?
I would have liked that deal, but after I heard what the ask at the deadline was for Crochet and what Crochet went for in the offseason.
Thank you for the call. We'll see. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the call.
I think Steve was conflating two things.
Yeah, and all these people hanging on, I apologize because I should have gotten to you earlier, but we got to take a quick break. Please hang on. 617-779-7937. As I said, I want to play the Sam Kennedy interview a little bit later in the next hour. We're leading up all the way to the pregame show. It's a great time. Great time, Sammy. Great time to be alive. You don't like my tweet, my AJ Preller tweet? No?
No.
Why?
The timing, it hurts me.
It hurts too much?
Yeah. I'm still sad.
Well, I'll tell you what doesn't hurt. Us being at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get your great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. We'll get to all the calls, all the conversation. There's still stuff that we haven't even touched. We haven't touched Duran. We haven't touched about hitters that weren't dealt, weren't acquired. We haven't even touched about last night. All of it. All of it, Sammy. All of it. There's so much to get to.
I can't wait.
So little time. All right, this is Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after.